Throughout the world, we celebrate the birth of the Child of Peace. Even well beyond the Christian household, men and women with their families and children, people and cultures everywhere, will hear again the song of hope and will look to the child.
That's the Reverend Dr. John Philip Newell. And on this Christmas Day, he brings you an inspiring message of faith and hope. I'm Peter Wallace. This is Day One.
Welcome to Day One, the weekly program that brings you outstanding preachers from America's mainline Protestant churches, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your life. All of us at Day One send our very best wishes to you for a meaningful and merry Christmas. Now, here's our host, Peter Wallace, to introduce this week's speaker.
Thank you, Sherry. As we celebrate the birth of Jesus on this Christmas Day, we are pleased to have with us the Reverend Dr. John Philip Newell, an author in spirituality, a poet, scholar, and teacher. Formerly the warden of Iona Abbey in the Western Isles of Scotland, he is currently the companion theologian for the American Spirituality Center of Casa del Sol in New Mexico. Ordained in the Church of Scotland, John Philip is internationally acclaimed for his work in the field of Celtic spirituality. His books include Christ of the Celts and Listening for the Heartbeat of God. And more recently, he has written Praying with the Earth, a prayer book for peace, and A New Harmony, the Spirit, the Earth, and the Human Soul. John Philip, welcome to Day One, and Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you, and to you.
Much of your writing and teaching has focused on Celtic Christianity. How would you describe that stream of the faith, and how does it compare with others?
Perhaps the most distinct feature of the Celtic stream, as opposed to the Mediterranean stream from which most of our Western Christianity has been influenced, perhaps the most significant aspect of this tradition is its celebration that what is deepest within every human being is the sacred image of God. Grace, therefore, is seen as given to reconnect us to what is deepest within us, not to make us something other than ourselves. So that's the first major distinctive feature that colors absolutely every other aspect of its spirituality and prayer life and commitment. The other related emphasis is the belief in the essential sacredness of creation. So that just as we are seen as coming forth from the womb or from the heart of God, so all things are seen as coming forth from the essence of God. And this leads to an emphasis on the holy interrelatedness of all things, so that we are called to be living really as siblings with the creatures and with the earth.
And you bring together these three streams of faith in your new book, Praying with the Earth, a prayer book for peace. Tell us about why you put that beautiful book together.
This book grew very much out of the work that I do in the high desert of New Mexico every summer, where my wife, Allie, and I co-teach with a rabbi from Santa Fe, Rabbi Nachum Wardlev, and with a Sufi Muslim teacher from Abiquiu nearby, Rachma Lutz. And these have been very important weeks, and weeks full of illumination and full of challenge. And one of my awarenesses coming out of that experience is that many of us in the Christian household have never heard the sacred scriptures of the Quran, let alone use them to pray for peace. And the gifts of these distinct traditions are important to be open to. And my experience is that in receiving great gifts from other traditions, I'm led not away from the heart of my own devotion to Jesus, but that these gifts throw new light on my devotion to the way of Jesus. So I see these rich inheritances as given not to compete with each other, but very emphatically to complete each other.
On this Sunday, we celebrate Christmas, the birth of Christ. How do you celebrate this grand event, perhaps through the lens of Celtic Christianity?
One of the beautiful themes to emerge again and again in the Celtic stream, and one of the manifestations of the stream that we have access to, are prayers that were passed down in the oral tradition in the Western Isles of Scotland. And the glimpse that we receive in many of these prayers is of the celebration of Christ's birth not as something that is limited or confined to the past, but something that speaks right into the heart of this moment and of every moment. The celebration of Christmas that I have learned in the Celtic tradition is a practice that invites us to be attentive to and offering ourselves to be part of the birth of Christ right now, to be birthing and to be birthers of peace, to be birthers of new relationship between us as brothers and sisters and between us as nations.
Your sermon today is entitled Look to the Child. John Philip, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Peter. It's been a delight. A reading from St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. In those days, a decree went out from the Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged, and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in bands of cloth, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly army, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace, goodwill among people." Here ends the reading. The great army of light sings, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace." Do we believe this heavenly pronouncement? Do we really hope for peace on earth, peace in our lives and families, peace among us as religions and nations? Today, throughout the world, we celebrate the birth of the child of peace. Even well beyond the Christian household, men and women with their families and children will mark this day with gift-giving and celebration. People and cultures everywhere will hear again the song of hope and will look to the child. Shepherds were the first to look, shepherds living in fields. Unlettered, unwashed herders of livestock existing at the margins, far from the power centers of respectability and prestige. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. The shepherds were faithful to what they heard. This is a feature of the Christmas story. It is, in fact, a vital feature of Christianity, even though we have often failed to believe it, that new vision is born not necessarily among the holders of power. The message of hope emerges among the least significant, among shepherds, among those who could never have imagined that they would be forever remembered in human history. Is this not where most of us are today, living in the fields of our nations, in places distant from power and prestige? What is the message of hope today that we are to bear for the world and for one another? And where now are we to look for the child of peace? These are questions for us all. For each of us has a role to play in this most essential story, peace on earth. The greatest of songs has been sung. It is still sung at the birth of every child. It is a song of hope. Do we believe it? In St. Matthew's Gospel, it is not shepherds who come looking to the child. It is wise men, or kings, as legend has it. People of considerable resources and learning, international travelers who know the stars. Yet they also come from outside, from other nations, other religions, other cultures. But all are welcome. Interestingly, the shepherds and wise men never appear again in gospel accounts of Jesus. Maybe they never heard the rest of the story. Maybe they never became Christians. This is not the point of the Christmas story. Everyone does not need to become a Christian. Everyone, however, does need to look to the child if there is to be peace on earth. The wise men bring gifts. Gold, a costly stone that speaks of the preciousness of the child. Frankincense, a blessed aromatic that signifies the sacredness of the child. Myrrh, a curative ointment that points to the healing gifts of the child. Preciousness, sacredness, healing. This is what the Magi are looking for. This is what they come to adore. And it is this practice that we are invited to be part of today. We bow to the child who was born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, the child who shows us what is at the heart of every child, every man, every woman. But it is not just to the past that we bow. We don't have to look back, nor do we have to look far. For the child is here and now, in our midst right now, in our family, and in every family. The child lives in the streets of our nation and in the streets of every nation. And the child is as close to us as our very soul, yes, often hidden away under doubts and denials in our lives, but deep within us, waiting to be born anew. The question is not where will we find the child, for the child is everywhere. The question is whether we will bow to the child. The question is whether we will serve the preciousness, the sacredness, and the healing energies of God that have been planted deep within the child, deep within us, deep within every person and nation, every species and life form. As we look to the child today, we remember our own children and the children of our friends and families, wherever they may be. We remember their struggles and joys, their delights and their fears. We love them. And deep within our hearts, we long to overcome the things that may separate us from them, our distances, our differences. We also remember our brothers and sisters, those with whom we have shared life's journey of laughter and tears. And in remembering them, we remember that we are all brothers and sisters, for everything in the universe is interrelated. And we remember our mothers and fathers, our grannies and granddads, those through whom the sacred river of life has flowed to us. These are the people we look to today. They are all born of God. We honor their preciousness, their sacredness, and the deep wellsprings of life and healing that are in them for the world. Today, I especially think of my father. He is frail, passing from us in his mind and memory. And as I name him in my heart, I ask myself what it is of my father that I am now to carry for the world. Part of it is his hope for peace. My father was born off the Shankill Road in Belfast, Northern Ireland, the most militant of Protestant communities. He was born in 1922, the same month as the Irish Civil War began. He breathed in the infection of soul that tore apart the life of a whole nation. He knew within himself the hatred that divided North from South, Protestant from Catholic. But in his mid-80s, my father asked me to take him to the South of Ireland. He had never been before. I arranged a family holiday in County Kerry, and on the first Sunday took him into Dingle Town, naively thinking there might be a variety of churches to choose from. We could find only one, St. Mary's. So there was I, standing outside a Roman Catholic church, feeling slightly apologetic to my Protestant father. "You know, we don't have to go in there," I said. To which he responded, "I want to go to church, and I want to go in there." Yet still unsure, I said, "And we don't have to stay for the whole service." To which he replied, "I want to go to church, and I want to stay for the whole service." The priest on duty that day was a delightful Irish blether, whose warm style was endearing. When it came to the intercessions, he said, "Now we pray for the weather, Lord. It's not been too bad, but it could be much better. And we have people visiting from all over the world, Lord, and we'd like them to see our beautiful country. So we pray for the weather, Lord." And on he went. When it came to the distribution of the Mass, there was my Belfast-born Protestant father, with tears streaming down his face, going forward to receive the bread and the wine from a Roman Catholic priest from the south of Ireland. There is hope for the world. Never in my life could I have imagined that this would happen. What are the divisions in our lives and communities that we cannot imagine being healed? What is the hatred between religions and nations that we fatalistically assume to be eternal? The future has not yet been decided. Do we believe this? If so, let us turn our creed into deed, our belief into action. Let us reshape the future together. I invite us today to hear again the song of hope. I call on us as nations to look for the preciousness of the child in every nation. I call on us as religions to seek the child's sacredness in every religion. And I call on us as families to be faithful to the healing gifts of the child in every family. This is the way of love, the way of transformation. Only the power of love will save us, not our love of power. Only love force will create peace on earth, not brute force. The love force of God is our true soul force. Shall we open ourselves to what we could never have imagined happening? The child of peace can be born again. We carry within us the precious gold of life. We carry within us the sacred fragrance of God. We carry within us the healing salve or salve of love. A new salvation can be born. Do we believe it? If so, let us live it together. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. A prayer from Praying with the Earth. Glory be to you, great creating spirit, who shines in distant stars beyond numbering, and on earth, peace. Glory be to you, great creating spirit, who sings and wings in birds on high, and on earth, peace. Glory be to you, great creating spirit, whose thunder shakes the shining firmament, and on earth, peace. Glory, 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 and on earth, peace.
Now, John Philip Newell offers some final reflections on today's message with our host, Peter Wallace.
John Philip, thank you for a wonderful message of hope for this Christmas day. You encouraged us to look to the child of peace, as did the shepherds, the least significant of people, and the wise men or kings. The image of those very different sorts of people gathering at the manger indicates that all are welcome at the side of the child, you pointed out. Would you say more about how we can express that sort of generous welcome ourselves in our own lives?
I believe a very important first step, or something that we are being invited continually to remember, is the immediacy of the child. We often get stuck at looking to the distant past, mm-hmm. or get stuck at believing the child, the Holy Child, is to be found only in our tradition or in our nation or in our family and our species. And the discipline and the celebration of Christmas for me is about remembering. It's about continually remembering that the child is here right now. At the heart of this moment, I can choose to honor that sacred presence in you, or I can choose just to focus on myself and my own ego, or the ego of my nation, or the ego of my religious tradition, and ignore what is deep and present in the other. So for me, much of it is about remembering. And then secondly, it is about renewing our commitment to act on the basis of that remembering, and to find ways of truly bowing or honoring the holy child in one another and in every nation.
The wise men brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, that is, you put it, of preciousness, sacredness, and healing. And we are to honor those aspects within each person, whether family member or stranger or even enemy. Are there practical ways that we can put that into work in our daily lives?
Absolutely, and this is the most important part of celebration of Christmas, that we find ways of translating. And I think that it is important to translate in the simplest ways of family relationship, the simplest ways of neighborliness, and how we speak to the person across the fence, and how we come to realize in terms of the most basic ongoing relationships in community that my well-being and the well-being of my family is inseparably connected to the well-being of your family and the well-being of the family down the street. So that sort of immediate translation into action in the simplest of ways. But I believe that there is also very challenging and enormous commitments that we're being called into, sacrifices that will be calling us into a very radical reorientation of how we use the resources of the earth and how we use the might of our own nation in ways that will truly honor the sacredness of other species and the sacredness of other nations. These are enormous challenges, but they are on a par or a continuity with the simplest day-to-day kindnesses to each other.
John Philip Newell, thank you for being with us, and Merry Christmas.
And to you, Peter.
Day One is the voice of America's mainline Protestant churches. Visit us online at dayone.org. Our program is recorded and edited by Donald Jones and produced by Peter Wallace. Thank you for joining us. I'm Sherry Miller, wishing you all God's blessings on Christmas Day and forever. Now, here's the Reverend Canon Louis Schuettig, president of Day One, with a special word.
I have very distinct memories of when the gospel touched my heart, as a child, an adolescent, and throughout my adult years. And each moment is different. Some came in a pastor's encouraging words or from a book. How I remember as a teenager, the book Your God is Too Small by J.B. Phillips. Sometimes it was grace to see God's hand in a particular situation in life. Imagine how many times Day One has offered that moment of encountering the gospel. Each week since 1945, our preachers have endeavored to be the voice of the Spirit of Christ to touch hearts, minds, and souls with the good news. To ensure we continue to touch you and our many other listeners, we need your financial support. Please send your donation today to Day One, 644 West Peachtree Street, Suite 300, Atlanta, Georgia, 30308. That's 644 West Peachtree Street, Suite 300, Atlanta, Georgia, 30308. Or visit us online at dayone.org and click on the donate button. We hope God touches you today, and we thank you for your response.